And I'm like, you guys, you keep trying to do what we did, and it's not working.
Yeah.
You can't be the what the fuck people or the dirty people. Mm-hmm. It just makes you look silly sitting next to us.
Most people aren't actually funny or dirty. You know, it's just like they're like, let's talk about tampons, but they don't have any funny or original thoughts about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but my talking about it is powerful. Mm-hmm. Well, is it? Mm-hmm. It's powerfully obnoxious.
Right. It's like you're ruining it. Yeah. You're proving the people who think that it's not funny to talk about your periods right, but that's fine.
Oh, man. That's one thing they haven't dealt with in this game I'm playing yet.
Periods?
Yeah, which is interesting.
Remember how we talked about in Sims how there should be fucking periods in there?
Yeah. I'm playing a game called The Last of Us 2 right now, which is fucking amazing. It's easily one of the best video games I've ever played. And the two main characters that you play as are both women. Although people try and argue one girl is a trans woman, but it's like you play her as a tiny child. So unless she found hormones in some post-apocalyptic world and transitioned as a child, it's just two cis women. And that's fine because they're fucking badass. Like, they're not like... they're both like...
It's a video game. Project whatever you want to into the character. Who cares?
I just am enthralled by it because I've really... You know, representation's an easy thing to just like toss that word around, but it's so fun to play a video game as like a woman.
Yeah.
Especially one that's not just like fucking lollipops and rainbows and is gay. It's like, these bitches are fucking fighting and like chopping like infected heads off, and like you're struggling to survive. And like, but at one point you find out, you know, I guess spoiler alert, one of the main characters' best friends is pregnant, right? And so you do get like this whole like, beginning view of pregnancy within like this post-apocalyptic world, and like, and they're both like 26, right? They're like not like teenagers, but they're not like old women. They're like roughly my age, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool, and like you see her having morning sickness and shit, but you don't see, but you never hear like, you know, a large part of the game is looting and like scavenging for supplies and trying to find supplies.
You should
supplies.
Have to find some fucking Diva cups.
Yeah. One Diva cup.
All you need is just one Diva cup.
The rare mythical Diva cup that's left. Otherwise,
your girlfriend can share it as my girlfriend and I do. We still only have one Diva cup, but it's working out just fine because sinking is a myth. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Not that I play that many video games. I mean, I'd like to if I had the time and money, but I've never seen or heard of any kind of periods happening in video games. And that's 2020. People, come on.
That exist outside of like a cutscene and a joke.
Oh, I've never even seen that.
I haven't either, but I'm just assuming that like...
That's probably happened.
It's something that somebody has joked about in a video game. Yeah. Somebody's made a joke about like, oh, I'm sure she's on her period, right? I'm sure that's been... That level of like exposure has been mentioned. But like, I don't think there's like a thing where like the fact that you're having your period is a factor
that you have to deal with.
Yeah, it's part of the game.
Part of the gameplay. Yeah, and then we know there's a bunch of female fucking video game computer people right now. So like...
A growing number,
A growing number. Come on, it's time. I don't care, you know, if it's fucking men and penis people, whoever, who need to be the first ones to program period stuff in there, go interview some chicks and
But I mean, like, especially, I mean, so these aren't, like, zombies. Zombies are, like, infected with a virus, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just thinking, like, in a sort of zombie-like video game, you know, like, wouldn't, like, open wound and blood kind of, if you're cut and that increases, like, your risk of being caught, like,
on your period.
Yeah, that should also be factored in. Like, that would be such a fucking cool level of detail, right?
That you have to deal with. Yeah, just kind of like how as your Diva cup fills up, it starts to attract the animals or fiends or whatever more. Or if you can't find a Diva cup, then you have to wear like a tampon, which is a little bit more of the blood
risk.
Can be smelled. Yeah. And a pad, even the worst. So some fucking, you have to worry about wolves and shit, like being onto your blood. Yeah. That's a fucking badass thing to show like what women have to deal with, you know?
But then also it gives you, like in this game, there's a lot of like strategy involved. So like if I'm trying to sneak through an area, I can like throw a bottle or something to distract people. But like, what if you were trying to set a trap for somebody? So you like pull out the bloody tampon and leave it somewhere to attract people to it and use it to bait, you know, these fucking zombies and clear them out.
You can fucking, you know, or you slingshot
some on
that
the wall
shit.
And like,
yeah, there's all kinds of stuff you could do. I'm just like, yeah, that Metal Gear Solid kind of gameplay. Now you've got a tampon that you're taking out of you and then whipping around like a sling, you know.
Yeah,
like
it blinds your enemy. It obscures their vision momentarily, right?
If or you just hit them throw it in the far enough and away so that the guard starts or the wolf comes over to that area. Yeah, there's a million. This is so fun. Untapped
area video.
This is
gonna
be a video game that's just like totally period themed. It's like, no, just incorporate it into these awesome games where there's increasingly more factors, like real life factors that you have to cope with and that affect your game. You know, like, yeah, how is period, especially on Sims, on
the
what
fact
is it, the
that
rest
it's
of
not
us
a
two?
Part of Sims is wild.
Yeah, there must be no women working. How has it never occurred to anyone after on the fifth or sixth generation of like this amazing game that they keep making more detailed and shit? It's like, dude, that's one of the basic things you got to deal with. You could easily program that into the little Sim world, you know?
It's like, and
the men should have to fucking come every 3 days or whatever it is.
It kind of reminds me of that South Park game where as you pick your skin color, it's like, this won't affect everything, but it will make everything harder. You know? It's like,
exactly.
It's like that kind of like level
Let's
of
deal
like,
with some real shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in general, games could get much more realistic. Or even, yeah, that's true for Sims. What if they put some like racial element to it? You got an expansion pack where you could get like treated worse by the cops and shit, you know, and like have to like figure out how to deal. I don't know. You know, women.
Based on your gender, you're like proportionately paid less.
Yeah. Or maybe depending on like what kind of career you go into, whether or not you're planning on getting pregnant, whether they ask you that in the internet. I mean, yeah, they could fucking, I don't know. We just want. I don't know if Sims is even that realistic at this point, or Grand Theft Auto 9 or whatever they're on. I'm just like,
it'll be 6 next.
6, and yeah, they as a woman, you have to like deal with having a period while also stealing people's cars and killing
people.
I fucking
love that.
That would be fucking tight. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean,
you go to a strip club, you ought to be able to use a tampon in some mission to escape from a. I don't know.
If you can pull the tampon out of the stripper while she's on stage, you get a bonus or something like that.
That sounds
like what would be in Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. It's like it's going to be something vaguely misogynistic, but also could be equally hilarious since it's a video game.
Yeah, that's their vibe for sure.
This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old androgynous vagina person. And we're the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. If you want to get in contact with us or follow us, you can find us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspod@gmail.com. And you can find us on Patreon under Gender Fluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all.
I miss that game.
Yeah, I really do like Grand Theft Auto 5.
I used to just read the internet that they programmed or just drive around. I was like, the game, because I got lost on little missions, but it's so pleasing to just enjoy the fact that somebody created this elaborate world. So many people did. And yet, how much more amazing if they had periods.
Oh, man.
Well, and honestly, because a lot of times, I mean, I know there's this whole thing about people being like, oh, I don't want to hear about your period. And I mean, there's some men who are still like that, but you know, whenever I would do stand up about it, it was usually the men who loved it the most. They were delighted to be learning about something and hearing it like honestly described.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, so do you know how many men would love to actually be like, oh, is that what a period's like? You gotta fucking, well, you can really get it right.
You know, not that everything has to be entertaining, but you gotta make it entertaining.
Yeah.
It's like, because here's the thing, it's like, yes, we should talk about periods and all sorts of bodily functions that like people don't normally talk about, but the way not to do it is to like do it the way my mom did growing up, mm-hmm. about sex or anything, where it's like, she's like, she knows that I think a lot of it's funny. Any bodily function, I just laugh at. And so she tries to be Miss Frank. She's like, mm-hmm. super frank. Well, this is just the reality of the situation. And if you just can't handle this as like a very neutral fact, you know, then uh-huh. you're clearly too immature to talk about what our bodies just actually go through. And I'm like, yo, like that's not the kind of like conversations we need to have, uh-huh. right? When you're like, if men could just hear about periods, it's like, yeah, they've been hearing about periods that way. Where it's just like,
yeah.
we just all need to accept. It's like, yes, we do. But also like, let's couch it within like something that's a bit more palatable than like this like incredibly medical clinical way of looking at it. I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have those conversations, but like with as far as we have to go to talk about it, let's work our way towards like being able to like.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't even think it's work your way towards. If you want men to hear it, you know, just be funny. Because I mean, it works for me, you know, like I've had so little pushback from men in terms of all my, you know, crazy explicit period jokes. I mean, I'll fucking go to town describing shit that I've never heard anyone else talk about. And men love it. Men love it. So that's the thing. It's just like, I don't know, maybe be honest, be funny.
Well, it takes away a bit of the like. I almost want to say like the regalness surrounding it, where it's like talking about periods supposed to be this in. Like, not that it isn't that thing, but that like.
Well, no, but there's also that whole like we have the kind of mystery of it and the kind of like excuses that you can make of it out of it on the one hand, and then you have this like misogyny and disgust that men have around it on the other hand. And so do we want, I think I would rather give up some of the mystery and some of the like, you know, because you still, also it is a reality that has to be kind of considered that, you know, women, like, we have these hormone cycles that are really hard to get a grasp on because there's two different, like, main, like, phases throughout the month that you have to acclimate to. And then your left and right uterus are different. So each month is different. And no one tells you any of that shit growing up. No one explains which hormones are going where. They're just like, yeah, some people have PMS and some people don't. And that's, like, the extent of your sex education about PMS. And so like you're just left to figure this all out on your own, you know, and then everyone's kind of different.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do we get here?
We're talking about that video game.
How there should be periods on
in video games.
Yeah, but what's it called? The Rest of Us 2. The Last of Us 2. I do want to play that.
That
hot.
Could be a different game.
The Maybe they will
of,
have.
There's the Last of Us, and then there's the rest of us who got into a bunker and are just fine, not surviving the apocalypse.
Or you're the zombie people or whatever, the infected people. That's the rest. You're trying to eat the lesbians.
It's so fun.
Yeah, do you ever get to play the bad guys in the zombie games?
Play as a zombie?
Yeah.
I've never actually played as a zombie. I'm sure in some game it's like an element of it, but I don't think there's... I remember a while back, this is like a long time ago, there was a game where you were a zombie and your goal was to eat people, I'm pretty sure, and you had to eat people to stay alive.
Surely. Yeah, you got to eat them to live. Or you could play as a sort of hive mind of the zombies.
Click and everybody moves. What's
that
called?
They're kind of hordes. You mean the gameplay of that?
Yeah.
Kind of like in World of or the old Warcraft and Starcraft kind of
like
games.
A little game bit.
Strategy games, you can kind of circle people and move them a little bit. So if the human is
playing. Real-time strategy, RTS. That's
real-time
it.
Strategy. So the human people are playing on an individual level where they're trying to like figure out how to survive, but they might team up with other people, NPCs or
so
other people.
Cool.
And then, the other gameplay is trying to, that's kind of fun.
I would play that, but that's what I was talking about. Yeah. But with The Last of Us, it's just fun to play as like a lesbian girl and like have it not be stupid and silly. Cause like through quarantine,
seen a lesbian video game before.
Or where it's like a part of the plot, but it's not like a dumb stereotypical
just
part,
a part
of
the character. Yeah, exactly. But she's
And then like cutscenes, like in their little like town
so
that they live
to
in, you see that there's some drama where like the girl she's fucking is clearly bi because she's like is this dude's like ex who's also their friend in this small town, right? There's this like small town dating drama it's like, but he and her are talking about it real chill. He's just like, she's like, yeah. Sorry, I got drunk and made out with her last night. He's like, it's cool. It's all fine, man. Right? You know, they're just like talking about the fact that they're both romantically and sexually involved with this girl in like a very chill, normal way.
Wait, so are they poly?
No, but like it's just like dating, right? It's like young 20-somethings dating, you know, we all went out to the town tavern and had like some drinks and we ended up making out and he has feelings for her. But it was like really nice to see that level of like kind of queer, just normal ass dating done so simply and so well, like in a video game cutscene.
That's interesting.
I mean, you know, I really got on this kick of trying to find good games to play with women as lead characters when I played Horizon Zero Dawn. It was that game I was playing for a while where I'm the girl with the bow and arrow hunting robots, right?
Sound familiar.
And it was like really pretty and like you could ride around. Yes. You started playing it.
Did I?
Yeah.
My memory. I don't make new memories anymore. I've noticed. Anything that's from like 27 and before might still be there, but otherwise.
Yeah. So I played that, but it was just so much fun to play like a cool, powerful, but not like cheesy, like woman. And like to like, just to like have that be the lead character. Yeah. And so every time I jumped, I didn't hear like, trying to like get over things. Like, you know, it's like a.
They do program in the newer games.
Yeah. Like, like, is this a dude running or jerking off? Like, I can't fucking tell.
Yeah, but you hope for a little bit of that with the women ones. You
know. Yeah, and, but with the women ones for a while, it was all like,
and so like, now it just, they dialed it down.
They finally have like hit like this good realistic level where it's just like, oh, that sounds like what I would sound like if I was tired as fuck from like.
Like a human.
Yeah, a real ass person. And, but it, yeah. And it's also just cool to look at the screen and see a woman doing all that shit with sounds that it sound really normal. Cool. And like. Yeah. Anywho, big fan.
I think
of
my
Last
roommate has a PlayStation 4 or whatever. So maybe I should just treat myself.
It's worth the investment.
Do you have to buy it from somewhere, or can you just download it?
You can do either. You can either download it straight onto their PlayStation, but you should buy it because then you get to take it with you everywhere. Like if you move somewhere else.
Yeah. Can't you just you can't have like an account or something and then.
I don't know. I don't know the technology that well. I'm not that savvy.
Okay. You're right. I'll try to. I'll buy the thing.
Oh man.
That way I'll have my one OCD game, Pokemon, and then I'll have my immersive game, The Last of Us 2. And I'm just going to skip Last of Us 1, because it starts in Austin, but then goes somewhere else anyway. Yeah. Like, the Austin part sounds cute, but...
It is, but you're playing as this dude named Joel, and, like, I played part of the first of The Last of Us, and it was good. Like, I liked it, but I didn't finish it.
Okay.
The gameplay in this is just way better.
Gotcha.
I think. Way more intuitive.
All right. So we're skipping.
And you don't need the whole backstory.
This episode is sponsored by The Last of Us 2 specifically, not Last of Us 1. Also, they do not endorse anything that we say on this podcast. Just kidding. They're not our sponsors. But if they want to be, I would love a free copy of The Last of Us 2. Can we send an email? Can we send an email?
We're looking to review your game. You want to hook it up?
Yeah, we actually already reviewed your game, and we were wondering if you would give Ariel and just send him a little thing, being like, look.
Yeah. Oh, I'll send him the whole thing with the
periods. Yeah. Leave the period stuff in,
For sure.
Okay, good.
Oh, for sure.
I think we can get sponsored to the tune of a free CD.
Just one.
All I want is one copy of Last of Us 2. Maybe two copies so we can give one away to a listener who also, some other lesbian who wants to play a lesbian for the first time. And in The Last of Us 3, there'll be periods.
Yeah. Oh, please. Or at least just like one like little, because sometimes they do these like video games do these like weird little cut scenes that you kind of play through gently, right? Like it's like you don't have to hit like X or like do a very limited amount of shit, right? But they'll toss in little mini games. Like even if we can just start with The Last of Us 3, you're just like a period cut scene mini game. Where you have to use some of the elements of what we're talking about.
Yeah, making your own period products out of, you know, other materials that you've got.
Because that's how it works. You, like, find, like, oh, I need, like, cloth and, like, some sort of alcohol so I can make a bandage, right, tape. For a thing, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so bad at crafts.
I need some twine, some cotton balls.
Don't look around.
Yeah, and a piece of electrical
some
tape.
Leaves. I don't know what I've got available.
Oh, no, you found poison ivy.
Damn it, again. I think they should make it a part of the gameplay, though, for real. And The Sims. It just should be a meter, you know, a meter that pops up a quarter of the time. And then now you got to deal with that on this, you know, and it's like how your first day is maybe heavy, maybe not yet. And then your next day is like super heavy and your whole life is ruined. And a lot of time there's pain, but you never know. There might not be pain that's that bad.
I mean,
the hard
thing though is to translate, because like the idea of games is to make you, the player, feel an emotion.
Yeah.
But like you have to represent everything visually and statistically, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I have a pain meter that goes up like on that second day, how do we take it to where I, the player, then like am worried about that pain instead of just being like, yeah, you're feeling fucking pain. You're a Sims. You're not real. I don't give a fuck. Right.
Yeah.
If you could add some sort of like gameplay element where like the way you interact with other people is altered or the way your character moves.
Yeah. They have a mood bar. And when your mood bar is low, then it makes you like less able to socialize effectively. It makes you less able to get like promotions at work.
I've never played
stuff.
Sims thoroughly. I haven't played Sims since
maybe. Yeah, I think I played 3 a teeny bit. God only knows what they're up to at this point, but yeah, so there's definitely stuff like that. So that would already be, it would be so easily integratable into what they've already got. Is okay. The point. So it's like, yeah. So sometimes then in that cycle, you get these bursts of like maybe pain or maybe angst, you're crying, you're angry, you know, that you could put that in there and make it be something that the sim has to deal with. And then some months that doesn't happen. And again, the heaviness, like, so for one day you've got to like change your stuff more often and then it gets slower. You know what I mean? That's so easy, this program. I mean, it's some work, I guess, but I think it'd be fun. I think they just don't trust that people want there to be periods in their gameplay. It's like, but
hey,
it's like,
get your fucking periods out of my gameplay. I don't want any fucking period shit near my fucking gameplay.
If we can
okay?
handle everything else that's happened in 2020, I think we can handle periods in Sims.
Yeah.
Easily. And in video games in general.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. So, did you ever watch Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
So, apparently the writer says he tried to have Velma be a lesbian, and the studio blocked it.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. He was like, seriously, I really tried to make her lesbian.
I saw everybody being like, it's official. Velma's a lesbian. But I thought it was like one of those SpongeBob announcements where they were like, all right, we'll give it to you. She's a lesbian. But he like wanted her to be a lesbian.
I mean, to the extent that James Gunn, who is... was the writer director? Did he write? I mean, is he the original Scooby-Doo person?
I'm not.
I don't know if
super
he gets
well
to
versed
say
on Scooby-Doo knowledge.
Yeah, because if he's not like the original creator, then it's like, well, do you just get to say which characters get? But it's like in his movie, at least in his interpretation, which is his movie as a writer director. I think that's fair. Like he wanted Velma to be gay, and it's like, so what year was that? It was in 2002.
It's still pretty early on.
That makes sense. Yeah. I was going to say, I thought this was just like a few years ago. And it was like, Jesus Christ, I mean, fucking just let her be gay. That's fun. But yeah, in 2002, dude, it's just, that wouldn't have been family friendly.
Yeah.
You know?
Velma's a lesbian, not in this household.
No, people would have not taken their kid. I mean, they would have turned off a lot of people in 2002. It would have been a scandal. I mean, you know, I mean, it was like a fucking scandal in my family that Disney allowed gay cruises and gay pride day at Disney World. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, all this kind of shit was a scandal to a lot of people. So,
well, just our inclusion in anything public was a scandal.
Yeah. Cause it would be like,
because it was deemed acceptable.
Yeah. Like they were condoning it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't want it to be condoned, but
for us real heads, we already knew.
I mean, she looks like a fucking lesbian. I mean, kind of. She looks like some subgenre of lesbian.
I mean, she's clearly like a STEM lesbian.
A STEM lesbian, yeah.
Like a science lesbian, you know?
Yeah.
That's fucking her.
Mm-hmm. So that's iconic. Nice. So she's basically a lesbian. And I don't know why the first two gay news stories that came up today, if you type in gay news, it's like Ricky Martin on coming out as gay. And he's talking about, you know, he's super happy ever since. It's a totally stupid piece of news. But just remember when Ricky Martin was in the closet, how fucking retarded that was. I mean, honestly, like, there had never been anyone gay. Or talking about like at the times and how, you know, people felt about it. There had never been anyone as openly flamboyant.
Liberace.
Well, yeah, but just in the really popular young, you know, like this is like...
He was everywhere.
He was everywhere. And that like, Live and La Vida Loca song.
And women loved him and mm-hmm. men thought he was like a great, you know, masculine figure and like...
And most of us were sitting there going...
Yo, this motherfucker is gay.
Clearly gay.
Yeah.
It was just as obvious as Clay Aiken, but some people still wanted to...
Hold on to that little rat face.
My
fuck.
Mom.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's too bad my mom wasn't also into Ricky Martin, but that's young for
that's her. My fetish is when people come out as gay and disappoint people. That's what I get off on.
Yeah.
I love watching people be disappointed when they find out people are gay. It's mm-hmm. like, feels so good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, your fandom was shattered a little bit. Oh,
yeah.
It makes me happy.
You don't get to fuck that person in your mind anymore. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're actually gay, you know? Mm-hmm. Love to see it. Love to hear it.
Anyway, yeah, Ricky Martin. And then years later, you'll always just hear the news. Oh yeah, Ricky Martin's gay. And we're like, yeah. Remember Ellen Page though? That was a real hard one. We just did not know if that was going to happen.
If she was ever going to come out?
Yeah, or if she even was gay. Because some of those cute little ones aren't always gay, you know. And you're just like, it was like with the Kristen Stewart thing, where you're like, oh yeah, I think she's one of the not gay ones, you know, like,
yeah,
because. Yeah.
You could
there's something
just
about
be...
her that's a little ditzy, too ditzy to be a lesbian. Whereas with Ellen Page, you're like, you're not ditzy at all. I think you are one of the good ones. And I do value lesbians over straight women, obviously.
I'm trying to think of people who have come out where it's like, huh, I did not see that coming. But like, but there aren't many, right? Like typically when someone comes out, you're like, yeah, it makes sense. That fucking reads. That
yeah,
tracks.
Usually it's like we already knew that, but
we all secretly suspected and hoped, mm-hmm. and you didn't come out as much as you confirmed our suspicions and dreams.
Well, because it's always like years later. I mean, you know, that's what was so cool about when Ellen did it, because it was like, you know, it was not at a convenient time where, oh, the world's accepted gayness now, and so yeah. Let's do this. This will just be a good move for my, you know, career that's been dwindling lately anyway, whatever. And maybe they'll give me an award. No. She risked and lost a lot in order to come out. So let's just all remember that when we, you know, blame her for having gotten rich and corrupted in her heart, probably. But, you know, this is what happens. You give people too much money, they become shittier, you know? Maybe we should reorganize our values around money in the society and work on that. But
yeah, sure.
Who is it lately who's disappointed? I don't know. Somebody, I don't even want to talk about somebody I like really value as an artist has been accused of some like, you know, sex wrongness things. Kind of, because as far as I know, it's there's like some maybe 15, 16 year old girl who was a fan who he invited to.
You're talking about Chris D'Elia?
No, D'Elia, no. I don't, you know enough about him or his life to even.
I don't either. I that was just
I assume he was gross
who...
to 17 year old girls. That's what. Look at a picture of him. Yes. Okay. So you give that guy some money, some fame, some, you know, whatever, a stage in front of all these chicks. He's gonna want to fuck. They're all feebophiles again, man. You know, so it's like, yeah, he's gonna try to fuck some girls, and you know, you made the law at 17, 16 in some states. He'll probably, yeah, yeah. Does he have a chart on his wall? That's your laws. So if there's, you know, this is just what it is. And maybe, you know, I was thinking about this last week when we talked about how like men are attracted to the feebophilia thing is maybe even more appealing because it's taboo. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it could be one of those things where just like with alcohol, we all freak out here in America and drink so much before we're 21. And then we all kind of usually calm down a little bit after that. But like we binge drink, and a lot of us binge drink for the rest of our lives. Whereas in other countries where there isn't a legal drinking age or it's like 15 or whatever, they just don't have that problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is something kind of like that we're doing wrong as a society in terms of tabooifying ephebophilia to the extent that now people have a
more
fucking
alluring.
Have a fucking catch 'em all. Yeah, he's probably got a chart on his wall of every state and the legal age for a dude and chick, and then he just checks them off, and that's fun, and that is legally allowed. But you guys, you know.
So I kind of constantly come back to this phrase in my head that's from Dave Chappelle's Killing Them Softly special, where he's like, we have to decide how old is 15 really.
Yeah.
He's like, because, you know, in one state, you know, there's this person and this is how they're treated. In the other state, there's a 15-year-old black kid who, like, kills his friend on accident practicing wrestling moves. And, like, did they treat him as a child? No, like, he's a fucking adult.
Yeah.
They gave him the death sentence, right?
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, I think we as a country need to reckon with the fact that, like, one, I think this sounds maybe a bit like tautological or oxymoronic. I don't know what the right word is, but we've infantilized children.
Yeah.
To the point, like, I think we take away a lot of, like, the maturity and insight and wisdom that, like, not just children, but young people have,
yeah.
Right? And so it's like, what is the lived experience of 15, 16 year olds
yeah.
like? Should 15-year-olds be fucking 30-year-olds? No. But should we, like you said, should we put this such intense taboo around like sexual attraction and desire to these 15-year-olds? Right. Is it a good or a bad thing? Because we implicitly and pretty explicitly acknowledge it in so many other facets right. of our life. Like I constantly bring up anime where I used to do a joke. It's like, if you like anime, you're a pedophile.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, they're most of the characters are high school
right.
people who are just drawn to be super sexy. And we just pretend as if they're all of age, right? Yeah.
We're in some perpetual fantasy where maybe we're their age too in our minds, but it's a child world.
Or it's a cartoon, so it doesn't matter. Or yeah. like, you know, like even if like Bring It On is a great example for me, because even though a lot of those actors are over the age of 18, you're still casting adults in like the roles of young people.
Yeah.
You're still putting the same kind of like sex attraction and element yeah. into that,
you're
right?
Calling them 15, 16,
yeah.
whatever.
So, and at that point, if we're all playing fantasy, just going, well, the actual person that I'm getting off to is that right. I was like, yeah, but the character you're looking at that you clearly yeah. think is hot and attractive and cute is that age.
Yeah.
And by refusing to acknowledge that people can even have those feelings without being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does incentive, not in a weird way, incentivize them.
No, it is. It's this thing is, when we make something against the rules, it does incentivize the same kind of fucking testosterone people who are all about money, power, winning, whatever, to be like, I'm going to fuck all the young girls. And here we have Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell. We need to talk about this more, because there are answers for what we could do to fix this. And nobody wants to talk about pedophilia. And so that's why we don't get there. And I think we should talk about pedophilia more, so that we can get to the point where we have a rational, reasonable relationship to the fucking reality of our bodies and hormones and minds and society.
Yeah, I think we all just need, well, we need to come to a point where we can talk about like teenagers and their sexuality and our adults and their sexuality without like this, you know, specter of our puritanical
yeah.
past.
I mean, I was just putting up pictures of, I had to search teenagers car wash to find some pictures for our Instagram so I could put up a clip of us talking about that shit last week, how we have these, you know, teenage girls in bikinis washing cars to raise money. And if, you know, our fathers are going to their car washes, and we're looking at them. And so it's like, yeah, we know that men are attracted to 15-year-old, 16-year-old girls, particularly when those 16-year-old girls have big boobs. You know, that's normal for men to be attracted to that. And for me, I'm attracted to that. I'm looking for these pictures of teenage girls going, okay, well, it's not unenjoyable for somebody. I was like, damn, somebody, you know, fucking when they have the big boobs and their skin is all perfect and stuff. Yes, of course we all like that.
Yeah, and not to mention, we have this conversation completely outside the fact that a lot of the like high-end fashion models that people see mm-hmm. are 15 and 16 years
yeah.
old. A lot, it's not as if like our culture just refuses to put 15 and 16-year-old like people in sexualized positions, right?
Yeah.
Or to exploit them for their good looks or beauty, right?
Yeah, we do that fucking from the day one. We're not putting ugly kids in movies very often. It's the hot kids.
So I finally used the bidet.
How'd it go?
It was fine. I kind of cheated a little bit. I was okay. already in the middle of. But I feel like I cheated because it wasn't just like I went and took a shit and then used the
but
bidet.
Yeah, but we talked about, you know, practicing.
Yeah, so I guess I took my first practice run at actual regular bidet use. Mm-hmm. I was doing it when I used that new shower shot enema thing. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, I was having some terrible farts. I mean, like, we got all this free chicken from Bill Miller's.
Right.
And like, I hadn't eaten that much just fried chicken in a long time.
I love that these people correctly assessed the situation when y'all two were in there getting some, and they were like, do you want 40 more chicken fingers for free?
Like, fuck. Oh, no, dude, they hooked it up. They gave us fucking breasts, legs, and like, I've got more if you want some.
Yeah, I would love a few legs.
Yeah.
Some thighs would be cool.
And so we were like, fuck yeah, we want some. They're like, we're about to close. We did get there.
I love Bill Miller.
Yeah, we got there just before they closed. And like, really, they were nice letting us slide in that quickly. Because like that, we were the type of people that like when I was waiting tables, I would have been like, yo, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. Or like when I was working retail, it's like, dude, you coming in like four or five minutes before we technically
But you
close.
Assess the situation because they might just be like, hey, is there anything that is easily to go
and
then
the
we
thing.
Can do that
we
and
always
be really well.
We always get the fried chicken, which they usually have leftovers
exactly.
of at the night. It's like,
you're helping
us. We're not ordering a specialty meal item. But yeah, they were like, hey, would y'all like some extra chicken? Because, like, we're about to close. We're like, sure. And they hand us the biggest box of chicken. We just started laughing. We were like, fuck yeah. Like, hell yeah.
I would call that correctly gendering you. Yeah. Do y'all want some chicken?
My gender fried chicken lover. That is my gender.
That's part of it. You're like, we are the kind of women who would, yes, please fuck up want some fried to chicken. Have 60.
These gay bitches look like they would eat the fuck out some fried chicken. Like, yes.
Y'all want some more thighs and breasts?
So we get home, we eat it, and, like, you know, not 45 minutes later, for whatever reason, I was just like, I was having these farts where, like, I mean, you know, I've eaten fried chicken. It just might have been the amount with which I ate it.
And we just discussed that you were given 40 whatever pieces of chicken. For whatever reason, I was having farts.
All of it. But
well, yeah, but you know you ate too much.
I did eat like 6 or 7 large pieces of chicken, fried chicken. It was delicious.
Anyone would fart.
Plus some fries and gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, obviously. But they were just like uncomfortably potent. Where, like, at first, like, I was just, I didn't say anything about it, right? I farted, and then, like, it hit Alexis, and she was like, Jesus Christ. Oh my God, Ava. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And it was like, last week when I was talking about when people have that reaction, it makes me laugh, and then it makes me fart more. These farts were so bad.
You're done eating.
These farts were so bad, I couldn't even laugh at them. Like, they weren't even, like, funny bad. They were just, like, something died inside of you, and its zombie corpse is trying to claw its way out. That's what's happening.
Isn't it funny that the things that aren't funny in real time are the funniest things later?
So fucking funny.
But tragedy, like, plus comedy. It does time. Equals comedy.
We're just sitting there, right?
And tragedy is what your farts were.
And, like, eventually we go to bed, but the farts never stop. Oh, I mean, yeah, all night. Dude. And it's, like, when we were, like, laying in bed watching TV later on that night, she was like, maybe you need to go use the fucking shower shot and wash whatever is trying to come out. Like, you just need to, like, put that shit up there and get it out of you. And I was like, yeah, I know that sounds like it would work and, like, that would be a good idea. But then what would happen is then I would, like, use the shower shot and then, like, fall asleep. And I would just have, like, residue wet farts from, like, the leftover trickles of the enema that did not, like, get out. Yeah. I would just have, like, wet farts, like, slightly shitty farts, too, in our nice white bed. Like, we have, like, white sheets. Like, so do you want to sleep with wet, nasty farts or just regular nasty farts? She chose regular nasty farts. And so we went to bed. But then the next morning we wake up and I'm like, all right, I do have to take a shit. So I go and take, like, this, like, really massive, nasty shit. Just, like, not good. And then
so good.
I mean, yeah, so good. I was like, ooh, well, maybe that's better. But then it's not better. Oh, and so, man. I'm like, okay, you
that's
know what?
That's the worst when you take a major shit and then you still have farts and you know.
Yeah, and so I'm like, all right, it's time to fucking shower shot it up. Like, I'm going to do it. Like, at this point, I've shit most of it out. So I'm going to just try and, like, pump some water up in me and get, like, that deep colon cleansing, like, enema shit
take
going.
Spray hose to it.
Yeah. But I've never used one before, so I was kind of excited too.
Oh, you hadn't used the shower shot or whatever?
The shower shot.
The shower shot?
No, I'd seen them, but I've never used one properly. And so I go and I get in the shower and I, like, wash my body and shit. I don't know why I did that first. But like
order of operations is all wrong. Yeah.
But like and then I'm like playing with the shower shot and thank God I tested it before I put it in me. I was like, how strong does it come out? And I, like, turned it all the way on and it did that, like, cartoon fire hose thing where it's like, like, has a life of its own. Like, it fucking, the pressure we have here, I guess, is amazing or whatever. But, like, it comes out towards, like, that would hurt the inside of my asshole if I turned it all the way on. Like, I was playing with it where I was holding the cord, like, halfway up. The, like, body of the cord and turned it on and it would just, like, hold itself up and, like, push itself up off the ground.
Jeez.
And, like, flail around and shit.
Yeah, that seems like a hard beating.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna go about 50%, right? I just need to get, like, some get some water in me. But it was pleasantly not intense. I was kind of hoping it would be intense, and I guess it would be if I kept imagining this being used in, like, a kink situation, right? Because, like, you know, I put up my asshole, I turn the water up 50, 75%, pump myself full of water, Mm-hmm. And then I do a thing where I clench my butthole and then I kind of bounce my toes a little bit. Uh-huh. Just because in my head, I'm shaking the water around inside me, like washing the sides of my colon off as I shake around.
That makes sense.
I don't know if that actually works.
I hope it is.
But that's my wife's tale of like an enema tip is jiggle around and like,
you know, just like if you want to rinse out a
if you're rinsing out a bottle glass or something, or if you're going to wash
the lid
your
back on and shake it up.
You're going to wash your bong and not shake it around. Yeah, like, no, you got to get that resin off the side.
Yeah.
So I do that two or three times. You know, I do that, then you waddle, waddle, waddle real fast over the toilet. Shit explodes, you know, out your ass. Just like,
oh, God.
Which is honestly kind of a wonderful feeling. Like, it's like getting to have the sensation of taking like a large shit, but without any of the pain associated with like a giant shit, right? You just get to, you're just pushing water out, and it's just, so it's just the sensation of like relief really quickly. So I did that two or three times. And then at the end of it, I like, you know, I was like, I've been in and out of the shower, so I just turned the bidet on, right?
Yeah.
It was fine. It was good. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. But I still don't know if I could do that if my asshole hadn't already been like worked up to it.
Yeah.
Well, it was like it's had so much sensation already that like the single sensation of a bidet splashing on it is fucking nothing compared to shoving a metal tube in my ass and pumping it full of water, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then shitting that out like three times in a row.
Yeah.
But baby steps towards the bidet.
Interesting.
Which is, oh, but I kept having this idea of like BDSM enema shit. Mm-hmm. Like BDSM when I was putting enema. Because I was hoping it would be more pleasurable, right? I was hoping I'd be like, ooh, I fucking love the way this feels, like pumping myself full of water. Mm-hmm. But I was like, eh, you know, it's not intense. It's pleasurably, surprisingly someone pleasurably unintense. It's like, yeah, this feels a little normal to me, right? This is pretty middle of the road kind of like sexual feeling shit. But then as I was doing it, I just kept imagining like, you know, being fucking like put in like a stockade, like strapped into a stockade and locked in there and like unable to move. And like there's a bar, like a T bar coming up from the ground that looks like a capital T that's my hips are bent over, you know, so I have to be held in like a fuckable position. Mm-hmm. And somebody just walks up behind me and just like shoves the tube of my ass and like fills it up until I can barely take anymore. And then they pull it out and I just have to like let it all go. And then they repeatedly do that. So I'm clean and ready for people to use me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the process.
Yeah. Like getting cleaned out with one forcibly sounded really hot.
Being processed into the facility.
Yeah, getting ready for use. Like, we got to get her back out there tonight. We got a large crowd coming. We'll fucking go take her out back and clean her out real quick, right? Like,
Can you go clean the girls out?
Yeah. Clean out the livestock. Call me livestock. Uh-huh. I'm your meat. Anywho,
where's that video game?
Yeah, where's that video game? But that's the closest I think I've ever come to actively incorporating shit into a sexual fantasy.
Yeah, because it's about getting cleaned out, so it's not really about the poop. It's
And also like after the first one, there's not a ton left, right? Yeah. It's just dirtier water.
Yeah,
and so it was like, huh, okay. I'm not into enemas, but I could see that being a good element.
I could see that being a sexual fetish for someone, though, for sure.
It's a huge fetish.
Cleaned out forcibly power spray enema. Dom. Power spray enema dom, yeah.
I saw this one enema video once that was, like, fascinating. It's saved somewhere on my computer because I thought it was really hot. But it was, like... So I guess it's not the first time enemas have been sexual for me, but it's the closest shitty water enemas have been. This was like all clean water, right? Like these girls had clearly like douched beforehand, right? It was like clean water in, clean water out. But I think the videos were something like The Power of Water or something like that was like the name of the video series. And it was these women that would be like, there's like an armchair, like a hard-armed and backed chair, not like a fluffy armchair. Mm-hmm. And like they would lean over backwards over the chair so their ass was above their face, right? They're kind of upside down. Mm-hmm. And their legs would kick back and this dude would take these giant cylinders, like a giant syringe essentially, but they were like probably a foot and a half long, like 3 or 4 inches around, filled with water. And he would insert it in their asshole and then like slowly like fill them up with water and push it in. Yeah. And the whole thing was like seeing how much water these girls could take and like seeing how many tubes you could put in before they just finally couldn't hold it and had to push it all out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was super, I mean, I think anything that tests bodily limits is kind of hot, but yeah. I was like into that.
Yeah, that's kind of
because I wanted to be filled as much. I just like the idea like of being filled. Yeah.
which like I.
But it was really cute to watch someone just shoot a stream of water out of their asshole because it just looked like clear fountain water, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like it went in clear and came out a little murky.
Yeah, I don't have to see that. But yeah, as a fantasy, you don't even have to deal with the poop at all. So I think as a fantasy, it's pretty good.
This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.